Hi, Derek. This one's for you. Okay. Let's get started. Can everyone hear? Everyone here? Yeah. Benny, you good? Good?
No.
Derek.
Okay. Ezeh bet kushios hakasho tosfos mevakamel al peirush rashi sham besugya demakif v'nikif. Okay, so we'll start with that, and we'll get to the answers. So we had two questions on what Rashi said in Bava Kamma. The first question was that the Gemara assumes the case is zenene v'zelo chaser. But isn't this obviously going to be chaser if the nikaf is here? Meaning without the nikaf here, nothing was going to happen. You wouldn't have to build, if the nikaf would not have been present at all, you wouldn't have had to build anything. Only dafka because the nikaf is here, the makif feels the need to build these walls. Therefore, this case should be chaser. It should be a case of zenene v'zeh chaser, right? Because the makif is losing out. You wouldn't have to do anything without the nikaf being there. Question number one on Rashi. It should really be a case of zenene v'zeh chaser. Question number two is, Rashi has this weird lashon. He says, why does he say that Reuven says to Shimon that you caused me to build an extra hekif? You caused me to build this extra part of the wall. Isn't it that he's causing him to build the full hekif? He's causing him to build this full area, because without him he wouldn't have had to build anything at all. What's this extra, this additional thing that Rashi is saying he has to build an extra hekif? What does that mean? That's questions one and question two. So what are the two answers? So the Ramban's going to address the first question. First question again was, is this not a case of zenene v'zeh chaser? So we're going to try to figure out, okay, why is this case not chaser in this situation? So the Ramban has two different reasons why it's not chaser. So the first one is that his first answer is that the way chaser works, that the chaser must be chaser machmas the nene. The question assumes that the nene is gorem the chaser of the makif, then it's machmas, right? However, the makif is the makif really making the wall lesorechana? Meaning, is the makif really making the wall, and therefore it's benefiting the other guy, and therefore he's losing out? No, really, the makif, when he made the wall to begin with, he was making it for himself. It was for his own personal uses. He's nizuk, but he's building lesorech atzmo. Therefore, you can't be mechayev if you're a gorim. If he's causing this whole situation to occur, if he's causing the hana, then it's not really a case of in this case he's not really being chaser, because the makif is building for himself. He isn't going to be chaser. That's the first answer. The second answer is that there's a disconnect between who's getting hana from what. The makif put up the inner wall. For Hezekiah, right? That's what he cared about. He cared about Hezekiah. But the hana the nikif received was machmas the behemas and the shein and the regel, right? I mean the shein, but from the animals chewing on his stuff. The nikif doesn't care about Hezekiah, because why? And why doesn't he care? We discussed yesterday. It's a makam shenagu shelo ligdor. So the nikif, all he cares about is getting the hana from being protected from the behemas, and the makif the hana that he's getting from the wall that he put up is Hezekiah. Therefore, the chisaron of the makif is not related to the nikif, right? The nikif might be losing out, but that's not related to the nikif at all. They're getting totally different benefits from each other. So therefore, there's a disconnect, and therefore it would not be chaser in this situation as well. So then we're left with our last question, with Tosfos. The question was, according to Rashi, what's this extra hekif? What's this extra thing that he's building? So the Chidushei Haran says that Rashi thought the mechitza was between the makif and the nikif, right? That was where the mechitza, that's the mechitza that we're talking about in our case. But the makif had already built the walls outside, protecting him from the Roshos Harabim and the makif stuff and the Roshos Harabim. Therefore, if you're forcing Reuven to build inside as well, right? If he's forcing to build not only on the outside, but now on the inside as well, then he's being chaser, and that's the yaseira, right? You're forcing him to build not only on the outside, which is already there, now you're forcing him to build on the inside. So that's what the extra, that's what the hekif yaseira is. Okay, so that's all question, that's question seven. Let's move on to number eight. So lama nikaf chai l'shalem l'makif im gadar dal ruchos misav l'sadehu l'fi ha-ramban. So why is the Nikaf obligated to pay the Makif if he's Goder al for a size, according to the Ramban? Okay. So the Ramban has a very interesting take on our sugya. He says, why should we force the Nikaf to pay if the Makif went ahead and did something he wasn't supposed to do, right? The Makif was the one who went ahead and built the walls. So the answer is that he says it's Dome Leyoru Lesei Chavero, which we saw this is a case above Metzia. If someone just went into someone else's field and planted in their field, and it was a field that was a sui lita, that was ready to have produce produced on it, and the planter can demand payment. So too by our case, it's a sade asui ligdor. It's a field that's ripe, that could be used to be go there, and therefore it's roi for a well. Therefore, we said if the karka is improved, the nikif gets the benefit, and then he should help pay. Meaning that the Ramban says the whole entire reason the nikif is paying is all medin yored. It's we're working within this gemara above metzia. If you benefit the property with this stuff, then you're going to be obligated to pay. So too by our case, the getting a benefit the nikif should have to pay as well. So what was our question on this Ramban? It seems very nice. So ma kashalav ha bedivrei gemara bavakama. So our question was that we have a much easier way of explaining why the nikif has to pay, and it's just because of nene, right? The nikif is benefiting from the walls of the makif. So why do we need the concept of yored if you have the concept of nene already above a comma? What is why did the Ramban feel the need to stretch and go out of his way to say yored if we already have a good concept already at hand, which is nene? Nene would be a much easier way of explaining things. So the question was, so the next part of the question is lama l'ratza Ramban lefarei shasugya al pi pashtus hakamar above a comma. Why does he feel the need to say yored? Why does he just say hana? So what was bothering the Ramban was that nene shouldn't be enough if there's no maisa. Yored is what makes one chayav. But by the nikaf, he was just like hanging out there, and someone built around him. He didn't do a maisa. He didn't do an action. So therefore, you wouldn't be chayav medinana if he didn't do a maisa. So where do we see this from? So Rebbe asked for the Tosfos in Bava Kama, Kuf Aleph and Aleph, and then so we'll say the Gemara first, then we'll explain what Tosfos says, and that's what Rebbe I think wants for this question. So the case was in Bava Kama, Kuf Aleph and Aleph. If a monkey came and was soveya the tsemer from someone else's die, meaning that let's say I have tsemer and beanstalk, he's the die, and then a monkey he is the dyer, whatever. Okay, he has all the colors, and a monkey comes and takes beanstalk's dye and throws it on my semer. Do we say there is shevach to the semer, and therefore the dye person can claim that, you know, you're gaining benefit from my dye, therefore you should have to pay for it? Or can the semer person say, well, it's my semer, it's my wool, but like I didn't do anything, I was passive in this whole entire process. So what do we say over here? So Tosfos Mavakama says the Bala Semer is nene, so maybe he should have to pay. The Semer is now worth more, right? He Tosfos lists a lot of examples where one is being nene, but he says at the end of the day there is to be mechalik, and maybe the Bala Semer should not actually be obligated. And why is that? Why is there to be mechalik? By the Semer there was no maisa, just a kof. It's a maisa kof. But the Bala Semer didn't do anything, right? So there was no maisa that occurred. Nene is only mechayiv if it's nene begufo, or if there's an actual maisa that occurs. And here we don't really view the kof doing something as an actual maisa, and therefore you should be pater. And so too by our case, that's why the Ramban felt the need to say yored and not medin din nene. Okay, next part of the question. Ketzad hevin haRamban bechiyuv hanikif lefi ritva b'bava mitzia. So what did the Ritva say? He says that, so yes, where does the chiyuv of yored come from if it's not working within nene? We're going to see later that maybe it is working within nene, but at this point the Ritva says, if it's not working within nene, where is it coming from? So he says it's a sadeh ha-soilita, and since when there is a shtika, it's like the Baal Chatzar asked him to do it, right? Meaning that because the guy, you know, planted the tree, and the Baal Chatzar was totally fine with this happening. It's as if we view it as if, because the Baal Chatzar was quiet, we view it as if the Baal Chatzar, Taka, asked him to plant that tree. And one is chayev because it's like a schiras poalim, right? It's motzi mipiv. It's like the Baal Chatzar, Taka, asked this guy to plant the tree for him. And it's like you paid the guy wages, and now when you're paying this guy afterwards for the benefit of the tree, like you're paying him the wages for putting up that tree. So kesadi vayer haramban et shakla v'tarya bavakam lefi ha-gaon Rav Nachman. So he said that he's going to be working within the Ramban of Yorid, right? He said according to the Ramban, we know that the Nikif and the Makif is Chayav Medin Yorid, right? We should establish that's Chayav Medin Yorid. But at the same time, this case of Makif and Nikif, not only is it Chayav Medin Yorid, but the case is a case of Zanana v'Zelo Chaser. So we see, so this case of Makif Nikif has two aspects to it. A, it's Chayav Medin Yorid, but the context of the case is a case of Zanana v'Zelo Chaser at the same time. So therefore, we see that because Medin Yorid are going to be Chayav, so too we can see that Zanana v'Zelo Chaser is also going to be Chayav as well. So within the Gemara, we want to say, we can therefore plug into Hadar b'chatzar chaveiro, and this should be chayv as well, because Hadar b'chatzar b'chaveiro is a case of zenen v'zelo chaser, and if the case of makif is zenen v'zelo chaser, and it's chayv midin yored, we should be able to say, okay, now this is also a case of zenen v'zelo chaser, and should also be chayv as well, just like yored is chayv. But at the end of the day, the Gemara rejects this. But we see over here that there's some kind of connection between Yored and Zenanenev Zelo Chatzar within the case of Makif and Nikif. That was the Rav Nachum. Okay, moving on to question 9. Mevuar beGemar bava Mitzia Shim Aleph Yared Latoch Sadeh Chaveiro Vinata Shlo Bereshus Umdim Kama Adam Rotze Litein Lita Sadeh V'Chayev Bala Sadeh L'Shalim. Okay, so. So the question was is that in the case of Yored, why do you have to pay? Why does the Baal Chatzar have to pay the guy who was Yored into his field? I mean, he didn't ask him to do anything. So why is he obligated to pay him anything? So So the Yad Ramah says, okay, so why are we forcing this? Why do we force the Baal Chatzar to pay? So he was coming at it from our sugya, right? He said, Yad Ramah says, why do we force the Nikif to pay Kefi Mashe Gadar? If we are chayiv medin yored of zenan zel chaser, we need to figure out the context, whatever. But within the Yad Ramah, in the question of the Yad Ramah, he was assuming that yored is medin nana, right? And that's the kicker. Meaning, I was about to go into the Yad Ramah, but really, in the question of the Yad Ramah, he assumes that yored is all medin nana. It's all medin the hana that you're getting. Whereas the Ritva says that no, where does the chiyuv of Yorib come from? It's not working within Nana about getting benefit, but it's a sadeh hasulita. Since when there's a shika, it's like the Baal Chatzar asked him to do it, and one is chayav midin schiras polim and motzi osa b'fiv, right? So that's the machlokas of the Yad Ramah, how to understand Yorib. Is Yorib working within this hana that you're getting, and that would be the Yad Ramah? Or is it like the Ritva who says that no, it's all about this? It's a schiras polim, motzius a befiv that he's okay with what's happening. And there's a shtika, and that's what's at play here. Okay, so v'tein bet nafkamina ladina b'nehem. So we mentioned that there are two nafkaminas. Okay, so the first one was when you're paying, does the payment of hana. Do you have to pay more than the hana, or just for the hana itself? So what does that mean? So the Rif gave an example. He said that if the Baal Binyan leaves his stuff behind, right? He's building stuff behind, and the Baal Karka, the guy who owns the land, comes around and is putting up a fence around the landscaping, which showing how he actually he actually wanted the landscaping there. He wanted the stuff there. So we are mechayev him to pay ad gemiri, until the very end. So the question was that the Ran and the Milka Yosef address is, so what does Ad Gemiri mean? What does it mean that you pay to the very end? So the Ran was very puzzled with this. He says, what does until the end mean? The Rif adds as a tmiya, it's perplexing. Till the end means that he pays the full value of the hotzah. How can he give more than the hana? So what is the Ran assuming? The Ran is assuming that you only pay lefi the hana that you're receiving. You can only pay that amount. The Muki Yosef says, no, you misunderstood how Yorid works. Since it's a soilita and shtika, and the guy shows that there's a rutzon, that he actually wants the stuff here. He wants the landscaping there. Then it's like a skiras polim. And if we're working, if Yorid is working within a skiras polim, therefore you need to pay for everything. And that's why ad gemiri means until the very end. You have to pay everything because Yorid is working within a skiras polim. According to the Ran, he would say, no, it's not working within a skiras polim. Yorid works within hana. And therefore you should only have to pay the hana that you're receiving, and you should not be paying ad gemiri. So the next afkamina was if the nikif builds the third wall. So usually the case that we're dealing with is with the makif builds walls 1, 2, and 3, and the nikif builds the fourth wall, or the makif builds the fourth wall. We'll get into that in a second also. But what happens if the nikif goes ahead and builds wall number 3, not wall number 4? So what do we say over here? So you mentioned it was a machlokes, the Beis Yosef, and the Darche Moshe. The Beis Yosef said that if the makif surrounded the nikif on two sides, and the nikif builds a third, you're mechai the nikif for that fourth wall. Because he was galidaite by building that third wall, he showed that he actually wants the fourth one, and he wants to complete the whole entire fenced in area. But the Darche Moshe says, even if the nikif was go there half the fourth side, you're mechai to pay unless the makif does the rest. Meaning that he says, that he was not necessarily galidaita that he wanted the rest of the fencing area to be completed, and we're not going to be mechayiv to pay unless the makif builds the fourth wall. So what's going on here? What's behind the machlokas, the Beis Yosef, and the Darche Moshe? Why does Beis Yosef say that he was galidaita, and therefore he has to pay for the fourth wall as well? According to the Darche Moshe, he only has to contribute once the makif finishes up the whole entire process. So we mentioned that maybe the machlokas is what we've been talking about so far. The Beis Yosef says that it's all working within a skiras polim, and therefore he was galidaita, he was hotzas mepiv, that he wants these walls, and therefore he's going to be obligated to pay for the fourth wall as well. But according to the Darche Moshe, you only pay lefi the hana that you're receiving, and therefore because you haven't received any hana yet, right? You've only built two walls. You haven't built the 3 and 4. So there's no hana here. You haven't received any hana yet. So only once the makif builds that fourth wall, then you're receiving hana. But until that happens, you haven't gotten any hana. So therefore, you should not be obligated to pay for that fourth wall until the makif builds the fourth himself. So that was the second nafkamina. Now moving on to question 10. The man nechaku Rav Huna v'chia barav v'shitas Rav Yosi. So this was just within the Gemara, right? Gemara Bava Basra. We asked, what does Rabbi Yosef's hakol mean? Of megalgin levet hakol, right? The Mishnah says megalgin levet hakol. You have to contribute to all of it. So what does that mean? So we mentioned that Rav Huna says that you pay kol mashigada, right? The kol means you pay for everything that you paid. Meaning that if the wall cost 100, then you contribute to half that amount. Rav Chiya says no, hakol means for all the walls. That you contribute to all the walls, but to make kanim bezol, you only pay the cheapest amount. So the next part of the question, b'mad nechlaku Rashi v'tosos bir divrei chia barav. So we mentioned that the Baal Me'or explains Rashi. He says pashat pshat in Rashi is that what does to make kanim bezol mean? Bezol means cheap. That I could have gotten cheaper kanim, right? It means the cheapest rate possible. Okay. So Tosfos quotes the Ri that says that this guy could claim that it's enough for me to just have agar and a tirei. The guy said it would have been enough for me to have agar and a tirei. There, however, if there was a metziah or a sale for Dmei Kanim Bezol, if there was, you know, on the market there was a sale and Dmei Kanim Bezol that they were going for extra cheap, he would for sure want this. Therefore, we testify that if he had the option for more, he would do more. Meaning, the chiddush said that the agar and a tirei would be enough for this guy, but if he could get more on his hands, he would. Therefore, we say demei kanim bizol, because demei kanim bizol, dafka bizol. Because if the kanim were on sale bizol, he would go for that. Therefore, we are mechayev him for that. So kesad beir paras Yosef bedas tautosvos. So paras Yosef, parat Yosef. So he quotes a Mishnah on Kuf Mem Vav Amud Aleph, and he explains this Gemara Kedushin, and then based on that, with the Rashbam, we're able to explain Tosfos and make it a little more clear. So the Mishnah on Kuf Mem Vav Amud Aleph explains that if someone does Kedushin, he would send gifts, including food and jewelry, to his Kala, right? He would then have a Seuda in the father-in-law's home. If he was Chozer or someone died, so the question is, what happens to the gifts? So we said, if he had already eaten, one can't be Chozer and get the gifts back. Why? Because the Savlanas will wither away, and he can't get that back, but he can get the jewelry back. But the Gemara on Kuf Mem Vav Amabeis says that whether he or she dies, or he's Chozer, then he gets back the non-perishables. However, if she is Chozer, if she's the one who is Chozer, everything goes back and she has to pay for the food. But the question was, okay, so if she was Chozer, how much should she pay? So, because she said that she has to pay for the food. So he says that she doesn't pay for all the food, but she pays two-thirds of the value. She pays Dmei Basar Bezul. So the question is a similar question as we saw earlier, Dmei Kanim Bezul. What does Dmei Basar Bezul mean? So I think that Parat Yosef quoted the Rashbam, that if someone eats and he isn't expecting to pay, then if he's eating Shalom Midas Chazara, he only gives back two-thirds. Right. Let me say that again. Meaning that if this person was eating because he wasn't expecting to pay, and he wasn't expecting to have to be Chozer, then he only gives two-thirds. So the question is, how is this working? Meaning why Dafka two-thirds here? Why does that make sense? So I think it's kind of working with these like two extremes, right? So on the one hand, if he knew he was going to have to pay at the end of the day, he wouldn't have had this food at all. So therefore, we're not going to make him pay the full amount, right? Because if he knew he was going to have to pay for this food at the end of the day, he wouldn't have eaten it in the first place. He would have tried to find some other food out there. So therefore, maybe he should not be obligated to pay at all. That's one extreme. But at the same time, if he had an option for fancier food for a cheaper price, he would totally take that option as well. So therefore, we kind of find this middle ground in between, where on the one hand, if he could find something else to eat, he would have. But at the same time, if there was fancier food available, he would want to take that for a cheaper price. Therefore, we kind of find this middle ground in between, and we say two-thirds. So that's what the Rashbam would say behind. That's why the woman has to pay two-thirds by Basar Bezul. So then the last part of the question was, Lama lo ratzu atosfos lefarish kmo Rashi. So why doesn't he want to explain like Rashi? Because he says the issue is how to understand the words Dmei Kanim Bezul in cheap Bezul, like cheap. Why Bezul? So Tosfos give a very good shot of Bezul, right? Bezul means that it's paying if it was on sale. Bezul means on sale. But according to Rashi, Tosfos would ask and say, Dmei Kanim means the cheapest rate. That is the cheapest rate. So what is Bezul adding Lefishitas Rashi? According to Rashi, what is the word Zol accomplishing? We would know that Dmei Kanim is the cheapest rate. So why say the cheapest rate of the cheapest rate? Meaning what's Bezul adding? So therefore, that's why Tosfos felt the need to give a different shot and explain the word Zol differently. So now question 11. This is mostly just the pshat on the Gemara, but Rabbi wanted us to summarize it and have it clear. So ten hey pirushim shuvah the Gemara levayer machlokas tanakama Rav Yosi al fi Rav Huna vidal lefi chiyabara. So we mentioned within the Gemara that Rav Huna says the Tanakama says you pay dmei kanim bezol, and Rav Yosi says you pay lefi mashigadar. Right? So that works out according to Rav Huna. But Rav Chia says we're only talking about Dmei Kanim Bezul. How is he going to understand the Machlokas Rav Chia? How is Rav Chia going to understand the Machlokas of the Tanakama and Rav Yosi? So he said that there are four ways to understand the Machlokas. Either you say the Tanakama says Agar Natirei, you should be obligated to pay that you have to contribute the watchman's fee, and Rav Yosi is the one who says Dmei Kanim Bezul. That was shot number one in the Gemara. Shot number two is the Tanakama says just contribute the fourth wall, and Rav Yosi says you also have to contribute walls 1, 2, and 3, not just the fourth wall. The third shot is the Tanakama says if Amud Hamakif, if the Makif gets up, then only you'll get to contribute the Revius, right? But if the Nikif was Amud, then you have to be Megal Gedolav at Akol. And that's in the Tanakama has a distinction between the Makif and the Nikif. Rav Yosi says no. Loshna Makif, Loshna Nikif, you're always going to be Megalagan love at that kol. And he is more Machmir. And they mentioned that the fourth pshat, with the Lishna Batra, gives a fourth pshat of how to understand the Machlokas Tanakama and Yossi. The Tanakama says, it's almost like the third pshat, but flipped with a twist, right? So the Tanakama says, you pay your Megalagan love at that kol, you have to pay for everything, Lefi Mashigadar, and there's no difference between the Makif and the Nikif. While Rabbi Yossi this time is the one who says that no, the Nikif, if I'm a Nikif, then you're obligated for the Revias. But if, and this is the kicker, if the Makif was Amad, then you don't have to pay anything at all. You're totally putzer. So the next part of the question was, B'mash Shona Lishna Batra, but B'bais Ema, HaGimel Mikol Shar Drachim B'Gemara. So if you look at all the options that we brought a second ago, right, all of them have the Tanakama being the more Mekel Shita and Rabbi Yossi being the more Machmer Shita. Yet in the fourth Yibayis Ema, it's reversed. Where in this situation, the Tanakama is the one who's being more Machmer, and Rabbi Yossi is the one who's being more Mekel. So is a raya after Levi Lakach Melashon Rabbi Yossi Lefiat Tosfos. So what would be a raya to this fourth pshat that the Tanakama is actually the one who's being more machmir? And he says that there's no difference between the makif and nikif, whereas Rabbi Yossi is the one who's saying no. If the nikif amar nikif, then you're obligated the revius, but if the makif is amar, then you're patur completely. So where is the raya for that? So Tosfos explains that it said that Rabbi Yossi says im amad, right? Im amad hanikif, right? So the two words im amad implies that there's a split. That we said one thing by the makif. Im amad hanikif is showing how we're saying something else by the nikif, right? So it's makif here. Im amad hanikif split, and therefore by the fact that we see the words im amad, it shows how the nikif and the makif cannot be in the same playing field, right? The im amad shows a shift from the makif to the nikif. So therefore, that's why that fourth pshat would say that the im amad hamakif, then you're patur completely. But if amad hanikif, then you're going to be obligated in the fourth wall. And it's all about according to Rabbi Yossi, if you look in the words in the Mishnah, it shows there's a shift between the nikif and the makif. Okay, now moving on to question 12. So Ketzad Perish Rashi Lefi Rashba Machlokas Tanakama Rav Yossi Lefi Bais Ema Habiz. So let's just keep in mind what we're working with here, and then we'll jump into let's just do the Gemara one more time. So the Gemara, we said, what's the chilek between Rav Yossi and Tanakama within Rabbi Chiya, who says Veikanim Bizol? So our second Bais Ema was that they're arguing about the Tanakama says you're only obligated for the fourth wall, whereas Rabbi Yossi says you have to contribute to all four walls. So we're trying to figure out, okay, so what are they arguing about? What's the machlokas? So what does Rashi say? Rashi says within the Tanakama, he holds that there was that he was already Yotze based in Zakai, and they said the Nikif won't have to pay for the first three walls. So therefore we say, come Dina, we establish the din that you're only going to, that you're putter from the first three walls. And then based on was Mechayim in the fourth wall, but that's why according to the Tanakama, you're only the Nikif is only going to be obligated for that fourth wall because of Kam Dina. We don't say Hadra Dina. We say Kam Dina according to the Tanakama. Rabbi Yossi would say no. We say Hadra Dina, right? That even though Enoch based in made a psak din for the first three walls, from the fact that the fourth wall went up, we can say Hadra Dina, the Basin can go back on their psak for the first three, and therefore obligate the Nikif to have to contribute to those three walls as well. So Tosvos, Samat Kasha Lava Tosvos. Tosvos quotes Rashi, and he says that he was putter from, he quotes the idea that Rashi we just said that your Yotze is based in Zakai, and therefore you're putter from the first three walls. He said, so Tosfos asks, however, if you ascribe to this idea of Kam Dina, that the din is established, then until the Tefach HaAcharon, there could still be Hezek Re'iyah, right? And therefore, if there's no Hana until the fourth wall is fully finished, he shouldn't have to pay until the Tefach HaAcharon. He should only, if it's all about getting this Hana, it's only when it's completed, then he should not be obligated until that last Tefach is until the Tefach HaAcharon. Therefore, you'd only be obligated to pay, like a small amount. So What's the answer? So Kesa Efshar Liyashiv Hakushi Lefi Rashash. So this is more the Rashash in the Baal Meor, but Rashi said. So we said that Rashi didn't hold Kamdina is related to the Hana itself, but there was a din Torah brought to Beis Din, and if the Beis Din patered him, then they won't reverse the psak. And the psak and the Kamdina means that once the Beis Din makes a psak, they won't be hadar that psak. And therefore, the fourth wall wasn't included in that psak at all. I mean, you can't just say like Tosfos, where it's like you know, 90% of the wall was in that psak or not. In the psak. No, it's that the three walls were in the psak, and the fourth wall was out of the psak. And the Baal Meor explains further: after Beis Din, after Patro Beis Din, then Kamdina. Once there's a psak, we can't take back that psak. And therefore, by walls, by the first three walls, there was a psak. There was no psak by the fourth wall, and that's all the sheets of the Rashash. So Kate said, "Perishu atosfos lefi amar Rashab machlugas tanakam riosi lefi ibayis ema habez." So this was a puzzling line in Tosfos. Tosfos quotes the Ri, says that there isn't anyone who wouldn't contribute to the fourth wall. So very nice. Tosfos quotes the Ri, but the question on Tosfos was the Dibur Amatzil of this Tosfos is talking about not paying for the first three walls. So why is he quoting the Ri who only addresses the fourth wall? I mean, we were trying to address the first three walls, not the fourth wall. So what's going on over here? So the Maharsha quotes a Gemara in Bava Kamma that says that no, that the Ri was assuming like the Gemara in Bava Kamma. That's why he only felt the need to explain the fourth wall. And what's the Gemara in Bava Kamma? The Gemara in Bava Kamma was that the Nikif is Pater, because he could say, I would be content with Agar Natire. Therefore, because you make that taina, that I would have been okay with Agar Natire, therefore he's pater from the first three walls. And that's how Tosfos would understand why he's pater from the first three walls, because the guy can make the claim, I would have been good enough with a lot less. So now, finally, the Nafkamina, and then we'll make it to Mincha on time, Beret Hashem, in the Heights Lounge.
Across
so
the hall.
What?
Across the hall.
And across the hall also. So Tay Nafkamina Ladina, Ben Perish, Rashi, Leperish, Tosfos. So the nafkamina we gave in Shir was whether he was mafsik between the first three between the first three walls and the fourth. So Tosfos says the nikif can always claim that I don't want this wall, whether there was a hafsaka between walls three and four or not. He can always say, no, I would have been okay with a lot less, with lafi the ri. So therefore you don't necessarily need a hafsaka between walls three and four. However, according to Rashi, it's all working within the psak din, right? So therefore, the first three walls were in the psak din, but the fourth wall is out. Therefore, you need that hafsaka between walls one, two, and three, the psak din on those three, and then the fourth. Okay, we'll stop here.